All right. So I will go ahead and call the meeting to order at 10:01.
Thanks, Esther. All right, we'll go ahead and do a roll call. All right, Tammy Caputo?
Here.
Janet Claire?
Here.
Mary Cordes? Esther Curry?
Yes.
Sarah Isaacs? Susan McKinney? I saw her, but she's on the phone.
She is on the phone.
Yeah. So she's acknowledged in the chat. So we'll go ahead and count that. Jennifer Slack.
Here.
Paula Treader. Sandy West.
Here.
And Diane Yeoman.
Here.
All right. Okay. And good morning to Don. Thank you for that in the chat. All right. And so we'll go ahead and get started. Approval of minutes from the June 8th, 2023 meeting. Has everybody had a chance to review those?
This is Sandy, and I'll make a motion to approve minutes as presented.
We have a second?
This is Esther, I'll second.
Okay, all right, and we'll go ahead and do a roll call. Tammy Caputo?
Yes.
Janet Claire?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Susan McKinney? And looks like she's still on the phone. Jennifer Slapp?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes.
That's fine. Sandy West?
Yes.
And Diane Yeoman?
Since I missed most of the last meeting, I'm going to abstain.
All right. Thank you all. Okay, so I have an exciting update for our share update for you today. Our contract with Bywater has been signed this week. And so we have completed that last bit of business part that we needed to do before we kick off into the implementation process. And so we've also retained Leslie Zabaduke as our consultant for the implementation program. And so she's kind of going to be herding cats as we get everybody organized. So she's getting welcome packets and information prepared. And she'll be she's just very part-time, about a couple hours a week to reach out to libraries if they need information, if we need information from them. So she's really going to be the liaison between the SHARE team, the Bywater team, and our members. And so we're so excited that she can help us with this project on a temporary basis. I do see that Paula has joined us. Paula, welcome. So glad you could make it today. I was just telling everyone that we have signed the contract with Aspen. We're ready to move forward. We're going to have a kickoff meeting in the next few weeks. And then we have also been starting to plan the first round of cohorts of who is going to go live with Aspen and help us work out any wrinkles that first round. What it is the existing pack is on a URL through the I'll Share It links. And so with that, what we will be doing is actually transitioning over to a new URL. So your staff will have the opportunity to really dig in, start using it on the desk, using it for personal benefit, and then have a chance to customize adding events or anything that you'd like for like reading lists. And so we'll be doing tons of training. With that, you'll have an opportunity to really dig in before we ever go live to your patrons. And so then once it's ready, you would just update your website and any other locations where you have your pack listed, like on your in-house computers, and then you'll be ready to get it started. So we do have an estimated date. It pushed back just a little bit into December of this year for the first round. And then hopefully once that has gone through and gone live, we'll then be able to move forward fairly quickly with the next several groups. So we're really excited about it. I do see that some of you are on several committees. For those of you on the Finance and Policy Committee, we have been working very hard to look at the share fee schedule for fiscal year 2025. And part of that was the Aspen fee scale for 24 leading into 25 and what that was going to look like. So that committee has met in person twice, two very long days, long car rides to meet all together so we could hash some of this stuff out. We have narrowed it down to two proposals, and I'm going to say hold on to your hats, because one of them is something that I didn't know that would be a good option for our members, but we are going to present it. We know that we need a fairly significant increase in revenue to continue meeting our obligations. And when we were looking at the numbers, when you start to take into account module fees, Aspen, Cloud Library, a lot of libraries pick and choose between those. But if it's spread amongst members, you're paying a little bit more, but you're getting so much more. And so if we look at that as a more inclusive option for some of those add-on products like Cloud Library and Aspen, you could either pay more and have the same service, or for a little bit more, you could have the same service plus all those others. And so I don't know how members will feel about that, but the Finance and Policy Committee, we're finalizing our forecast. We're digging deep into the numbers, and then Finance and Policy is going to meet again at an extra meeting, I think on the 23rd of this month, virtually to go over it before we send it out for member review. So I'm really excited about that. I know it's never a fun thing to start talking about asking people for more money, but just as hopefully revenues are rising in your communities, as you're getting additional tax draws, our expenses have gone up. And so we think that we are going to present that to members as clearly as possible of why we need to do it, what we have done to continue to contain costs, but then also what we think is going to be the best solution moving forward. So I hope to get a lot of feedback from you all as well on this, especially our school libraries. Jennifer, I'm going to pick on you just a little bit, because it's going to be the second proposal would be a big change for how school libraries are receiving services. One of the things that I really think that the second proposal, the more inclusive model, is a benefit, is because we are looking long-term at having more database access in the state through the new Secretary of State committing $5 million to databases. And if we start talking about that and we start talking about Aspen, that could then be discoverable in your PAC. I think that's going to be really important for libraries. And I think that a more inclusive option would be helpful, where you're not going to have to justify an add-on product. It's going to just be part of your membership fee. But I would love to hear feedback from our school libraries, especially. So, okay. Yeah. Oh, and you're muted.
I'm clicking it. Now I'm unmuted, I think. So we already got our bills for shared membership and Cloud Library and bibliographic services. So I sent that over to be paid. And we're pretty strict, or the district is pretty strict on what they give us for what we call purchase services, which is anything, basically our share fees and stuff like that. So I know with the database that they're going to have available for everybody, we kind of can eliminate our EBSCO money that we normally pay out every year.
Well, I wouldn't say to do anything yet, simply because we don't know what that is going to look like yet. That's something right. That's going through an RFP process through the state. But as soon as I know more, I will certainly let you know.
Right. And so the Aspen fees, can you remind me what you said you thought they might be for schools, or?
$250, just a flat fee for your district.
Mm-hmm. Right. $250, right. And so in addition to that, it could be more. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we're for a proposal for increasing the share membership fees, we're going to put out a proposal that it's just going to be bundled in as one fee for Aspen and Cloud Library both.
Okay.
And so we have gotten feedback, and it's very mixed of people. I think the comment that really was a member comment that kind of highlighted how some people feel about it is they said, you know, if we go out to dinner, you know, and I'm getting a salad and water, don't make me pay for somebody else's steak dinner. And right. So I definitely understand that. But I think that there are so many benefits to adding and bundling Cloud Library and Aspen as essential services. I think we've reached the point where those would be considered essential services. And so, but it's not up to me to decide. It's not really up to us to decide. It's up to the members. And so we will put it out for comment and review that. And then we will put it out for vote. So, right.
So would that be for next year, or would that be? Yes. Okay, for next year.
Yeah. So it would be, would be next year. And again, like I was saying, you know, you're going to get the bill for a share fee. You wouldn't necessarily have to go back and try to justify adding Cloud Library or adding Aspen.
Okay.
It's going to be the one fee.
Okay.
And so I think that that would be that would be easier for school libraries, though the fees will increase. And so they're going to increase either way. I really hope that we can find a solution where they're increasing and you're getting your money's worth.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
My only concern, Cassandra, and I think I mentioned this to you when we talked about personally, is I don't want to see Cloud Library just merged into something and it just says share. I need the Cloud Library amount separate because budgeting, according to the reports we do with the state, I have to show how much we're spending on electronic content versus print content. And if you just slap it into share, then I'm going to be calling your finance person saying, hey, how much was Cloud Library this year? So I don't care if it's a total amount I'm paying you, but I need line items.
Yeah, and we can certainly provide that information of how much would be spent and allocated to your cart, of how much each library would have available to spend on electronic resources, whether it's either you personally going in and buying those items or us doing it on your behalf. We will have that information.
Yeah, I mean, my bill, what you guys spend is in there. So you spend all my money. I don't do it myself in the Cloud Library. I've got too many other places I've been spending money. So anyway, I just want to make sure if it just says share, then I have no idea how much I spent to put into that line item on my reports.
Sure. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions or comments on fee increases or Aspen? The only other thing I have is we have some exciting news. We have three new schools that have joined and gone live on share. So we have Freeburg Community High School, Giant City Schools just went live late last month. And then yesterday we welcomed Greenview Schools. So we're really excited that they've all joined us. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Dina, because I see her beautiful smiling face. Dina, do you have any updates for the group?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. Just, getting things rolling for back to school that somehow creeped up on us really fast.
Hey, Dina, we were able to get a 90 in front of our student barcodes. So we were able to finagle that so that you'll have that special indicator so you don't get mixed up barcodes.
Perfect.
For kids.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jennifer.
This isn't related to share update. Was there an agenda that went out, Cassandra? Because I don't remember seeing an agenda.
I thought
I just looked through and I didn't see it. So maybe it was just me and I went by it and I didn't see it. Sorry if that's the case.
That's okay. Why don't I email that to you, Susan? And I'll go ahead and turn it over to Jennifer if she has any updates as well.
It did arrive like Monday of this week. So I had to scroll back into it to find it.
I'll try to remember on our day of reminder to include the agenda if that would be helpful for you guys in the future.
Okay. Thanks, Cassie. My big update is that we are trucking along with our Aspen cleanup in preparation for that. I have sent out about half of the list to our public libraries. I have another set to go out today or tomorrow, and then I'll have one more after that. And after those are completed, I will start communicating with school libraries. Hopefully by that point, they will be back in session, settled, ready to work on that. So if you have received a list and have any questions, feel free to reach out. And if you haven't received it, it will be coming soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Jennifer. Now, I also want to, again, pick on one of our other team members, Jace Cook. He is actually our new SHARE member engagement specialist. He has come in and taken the lead on so many of our whole department, but especially a lot of the communications that we're doing, keeping our website up to date, and logistics for special events. And so I want to give him a chance if he has anything that he is working on for member engagement, that he has a chance to update the committee as well. So Jace, if you have anything today, you're more than welcome to share.
Yeah, we've got the affiliate expansion program that we're working on as well. So we're going to be doing more communication for that as school gets back in session, let everybody get kind of settled, and then we'll do more of that. And then if you are going to any of the conferences that are coming up, ARSL, IL, ILA, things like that, make sure to stop by our booth and see us. We will have, you know, pens and goodies and everything for you to pick up. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Jace. Okay. One of the things that we talked about being a really fun idea is doing a party bus to PLA. So Jace has been researching that for us. I don't know if we can make it financially viable, but if you're going to PLA, just let me know if you'd be interested in catching a ride from maybe the Champaign office. We're going to investigate the feasibility of that maybe at some point in the near future, if you know that you're going. So.
We're working on it. We're going to make sure that the bus probably has Wi-Fi at the very least, if not also a bathroom. So that way people can work while they're on the way.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jace. Okay. So up next, we have new business. And of course, the first thing on the agenda is to volunteer a chair. Would anybody be interested in chairing this committee? A lot of what we do is I'll reach out to you if there are any topics. You'll get maybe sometimes members reaching out if there's concerns. And then you'd also serve on the SHARE Executive Council, which meets the same month as this committee, just the week before. And so you would have a position on that committee as well. And so Esther, I know, would you like to kind of give a little bit more information about, you know, the time obligation that you think that it would take?
Yeah, it is really not very time consuming at all. Cassandra keeps us on track and does a lot of groundwork. You do spend some time interacting with librarians, sometimes interaction with cataloging services. There's stuff comes up between both of us, committees, and an executive council time. The only thing I would recommend is if you do it and you are being on executive council, don't volunteer to be president of the executive council, because that's just way too confusing, because then you're in charge of two meetings. You can't remember which meeting is which. And it's just, that was the only time I ever did that. I was like, ooh, not doing that again. So, but yeah, it's really easy. And you basically say, we're calling the meeting to order, and you turn it over. So it's easy.
Thank you, Esther. So Esther gets a free get out of jail free card for this one.
That's right.
So I hope you don't all jump up with your hand raised all at once. Maybe everybody's going to take a step back and then one person forgot.
If nobody else wants to do it, I would be happy to be chair.
I was going to say the same thing as Susan. I am more.
I'll
than
let
happy.
You, Sandy. I swear, I'll let you. I'll be your vice. How's that?
Okay.
That could work very well, because we do have term limits for the SHARE Executive Council. So maybe Susan, if Sandy, you'd like to volunteer, and then you could do both terms, or you could do one term and turn it over to Susan, but we could put Susan in the queue. However you guys want to handle that would be perfectly fine with me.
Hey, that sounds like a win-win in my book.
I never want to jump, since I've done both CERC for a long time and I did executive council and I was president of executive council for a while. I'm happy to let other people jump in front who haven't done it yet. So I'm just offering if nobody else will. I hate the dead silence when nobody wants to step forward and everybody steps back.
I have a very good solution to that. I just be quiet until somebody speaks. The silence gets so uncomfortable, somebody has to say something. Well, we've had two volunteers. Sandy, it sounds like you and Susan, you think you'll take the first one, and Susan will be the vice chair for this committee?
Sounds perfect to me.
Okay. Would somebody like to make a motion to have Sandy chair this committee?
This is Esther. I will make that motion.
Thanks, I'll second it. Thanks, Susan. Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call. Tammy Caputo?
Yes.
Janet Claire?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Susan McKinney?
Yes.
Jennifer Slack?
Yes.
Paula Treader?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
And Diane Yeoman?
A resounding yes.
Okay. Thank you guys. Thank you, Sandy. And thank you, Susan. I appreciate you both being willing to volunteer for that. So next up is a new volunteer. Of course, we do have an opening on the committee. What we have typically done in the past is I would send that information to the chair to review, and as well as to the committee, usually via email. I didn't want to necessarily open up the conversation here in an open meeting because it's usually the chair who selects the volunteer. But I can, after this meeting, I usually send a list of what libraries are represented, usually by location and library size, to the chair and to the committee. And then the people who volunteered. We've had 4 volunteers who've reached out, and we want to find someone that we think is obviously going to be thoughtful and participatory, but then also somebody who's going to be representative of the membership at large. So we don't want to make sure that we don't have it clustered in only one area or clustered in only one library size. So we'll take a look at those who have volunteered and see who maybe is the best fit overall. And then if you guys have comments, you can send those over to Sandy. And Sandy, if you wanted to review that and just let me know, and then we can invite that person to the next meeting to be seated if they're still interested. So does that sound good to everybody?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Next up, we have the Share Mobile Library. I have spoken to Solis regarding the age rating in the app. I know it's super problematic for our schools to have an age rating of 17 plus. And the reason why that is, that rating, it's Apple standard because they have an unfiltered web embedded web browser in the app. I've spoken to Solis and they have an alternative solution. And I meant to go back to the email to explain it in exact terms, but I have forgotten. But something where instead of it being embedded, it's essentially popping it out to I'm going to butcher this, but like a browser on your device instead of being embedded into the app. And so the browser would have filtering requirements that you can set, whereas the app would be totally open. If we do that, we do have to make some changes on how things are presented in the Solis app. Specifically, if we have links in our MARC records, we need to make sure that those are kind of whitelisted to go out. And so with that, we are working on that, of trying to get that data over to Solis. But before I made a change that was so big as that, I wanted to bring that to the committee and make sure that I do have permission. And so I wanted to maybe get a motion to make that change to allow the age rating to be more inclusive for our schools especially. And then I'm also going to take it to the e-resources committee because, of course, it's very in their wheelhouse as well. So I wanted to bring it to everyone to review. So would someone, does that sound good to the committee? Would anybody have any further conversation that you'd like to discuss or any additional questions?
So is the motion, Cassandra, to allow the mobile library an age rating and external browser with the caveat that the Electronic Resources Committee approve also?
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay. Then so moved.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do another roll call. Tammy Caputo?
Yes.
Janet Claire?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Susan McKinney?
Yes.
Jennifer Slack?
Yes.
Paula Treader?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
And Diane Yeoman?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The next item that we have for item of business we have is the gender field. That was a discussion that had come up recently on the IHLS director's listserv regarding the gender field options. In the past, we have talked about this. I think Decatur Public Library, Robert, when he was the assistant director there, brought it up first of wanting more inclusive options. And that was something that very soon after that conversation, Polaris made some changes on their programming to allow more inclusive options, including an NA option as well. And so I think that we have sent that out via the newsletter in the past, but we do also have the option to enhance those gender fields. And I don't think that we've really discussed doing that, because I think at one point we thought, okay, well, there is that NA option, but based on that conversation, and I think too of conversations that we're all having on being more inclusive, is that something that we want to consider? So I wanted to reach out to the committee to see if we wanted to consider an additional option, or even we could really include several options. I'm going to rely on Dina on this, because it's been a while since I've looked at that upgrade of what was included in that. But I feel like it's even a possibility where you don't have to include gender on a registration screen. We can take that out for individual libraries. Is that right, Dina?
That is correct. You can take that off. We also can add things, genders. I haven't tested this. I need to test it, but I guess we could probably add even pronouns like he, him, maybe.
Dina, could you share your screen in either Leap or Polaris and show us on the registration where that would be?
Let me pull a registry. I think I can share my screen on here. I'm not for sure.
Let me make sure that you have post. Jace,
yes,
you might have
to. Permission. Okay. Yeah, everyone should have permission to share screens.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm very visual.
No, you're fine.
And I could be standing to be corrected. So with the gender options, it is a system-wide change in the sense that when we make that change, it would be available to everybody. But Dina, am I right in saying that what you have listed in your drop-down or your options can be customized per library? Is that right?
I believe so, yes. Can you guys see my screen now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the gender class is on what in Polaris, what I call that second screen for patron registration. And under the gender or general area, you have the gender, the stat class, their password, all of that. But right now we just have NA, female, and male. Your library does have the option. We can totally get rid of the gender field on there as well. If you don't even want to deal with it, don't want to have to mess with it. If you don't want to see it at all. When I was working at the library in Marion, it was still on there, but we didn't mark it male or female. We didn't even mess with it.
I have a question, Cassandra. Just curious. We don't use the field, but just curious, libraries that do, what is its use? Is it a reporting for statistics? I don't quite understand.
I think it's for statistical reasons, if they want to know, like, just in comparison, how many males or females they have. Okay. I don't know of any library who takes statistics like that, but there might be one out there.
We don't, but it's nice that we have it, because you know, you have a Peyton come in and or you're calling Peyton to let Peyton know her or his book is and then there's we have a lot of medical community, so we have a lot of foreign names and you don't know whether they're male or female, and so it's like, so you can get around that, but when you have people just kind of doing it and not thinking about it, of course, now we have telephony so that, that isn't as much of a problem, but you still have to call it. It's nice to just have that piece of information so that you're not, you know, saying something crazy.
I don't even think my staff do it all that regular. Unfortunately, I'm one of those completist types, so I see a field I need to fill it in. I do it if I'm doing the card, but I don't think my staff use it at all. It does come in handy with names like Peyton, which could be boy or girl, and I know I have to be very careful with that. But, you know, I wouldn't care if you guys got rid of it. You know, that it's not necessary for the way I do work here at the library, but, you know, I know it is for some people.
So if we add or remove any genders, or if we wanted to add pronouns, it's all or nothing. So I cannot do it by a specific library.
Which I'm fine with whatever you decide to do. Again, it's there. It has come in handy with a couple of high school students I've had where we have put the pronoun or the gender that they are identifying as. It helps us remember that person is identifying as a male or as a female. So
yeah,
it is helpful in that case, you know.
That's I think it would be better to maybe expand that list a little bit for now and kind of see, you know, because NA is, to me, you know, NA is just kind of jarring. At least adding, you know, non-binary or something along that line. And then if libraries, I mean, you have to do that for everybody, but if libraries don't want to use it, they don't have to use it. I mean, that field is there, but you said some staff use it, some don't. And so it's better to have the information there when libraries want to use it, and then, you know, not worry, you know, not having to make phone calls and, you know, all that. So
I forget what library had brought this up in the chat regarding their preferred pronoun. And my suggestion was in the others field, which is also, again, in that second mm-hmm. screen, like where the homeroom location is, where you put their driver's license field. There's one called others, and you could put the preferred pronouns there. That will not print on an overdue notice. If they get electronic notices, that will not be anywhere on an electronic notice. And when you're in Polaris, I never pull up LEAP because I can't use LEAP for what I do. So I always refer to Polaris. So when you have your patron pulled up and you're checking them out, and there's all the information with like their patron code, the address date, their birth date, all that, I can add others to that screen. I'm pointing at my screen like you guys can even see it. I can add others to that screen, to that little area, and then I can bump it up where you see it, like where it could be even just like right underneath their name. Cause like when I was a cert clerk, I could care less what their patron code was. I didn't care. But you know, that needs to be more in the forefront for their preferred pronouns. We can, you know, we can change the layout on how that looks for you too.
Thank you, Dana. So because I think yesterday you brought up that people's preferred pronouns, I think there is more, we are seeing more people that are identifying as they and them. And as we're wanting to remember that about a patron, I think that that would be a helpful option if we did have a non-binary, that you could very clearly select that. So it's just a way to remember their preferred pronoun without having to, you know, having them to have to remind you each time.
I just shared my screen, so I guess you guys can see it all. So this is my test card I test everything on, and I have the others like three lines below where their name would be. And I had just as a test, I typed in prefers. Well, I have them, but it would be right there in the forefront. And like I said, that will not print on any of their notices, only you're going to see it on the staff side. No one else is going to see this. So that's an option that we can do as well.
So with any type of change to the system that's a system-wide change, we generally bring that to the committee. And because it's a patron registration issue, I think that that's a clear CERC committee. So we would just need a motion to make that change, and then it wouldn't be a policy or anything to need to go to members. We would just let them know that we've made that change on the back end.
This is Sandy. I'll go ahead and make the motion to add the non-binary.
This is Esther. I'll second.
All right. We'll go ahead and just to make sure, anybody else have any comments or questions before we do the vote? Okay. Tammy Caputo?
Yes.
Janet Claire?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Susan McKinney?
Yes.
Jennifer Slack?
Yes.
Paula Treader?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
And Diane Yeoman?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. All right, thank you.
Now, do we also need a motion to move the other fields up in the view on Polaris?
No, because that's not a system-wide change, Dina. Am I right on that? That's individual libraries.
That is correct. That's individual by library. So I just want to make sure I am clear too. I am adding a gender of non-binary for use.
Correct.
Yes.
All right. It's there.
All right.
You may have, if you want to start using it today, you may need to log off Polaris and log back in, but it's there.
Awesome. Well, that was easy. Thank you, Dina. She's on top of it. She's quick. Okay. So the next type item that we have for new business is billing lost or damaged items to students on free or reduced lunch. That's something Jennifer brought to our attention, that the laws, and I am so sorry because it looks like there were referenced to two different places and that maybe you can, maybe you can't. And so she wanted to bring that to the committee's attention. Jennifer, do you have more information you'd like to share with the group?
Right. So what our superintendent told us is that if the student is on free and reduced lunch, they can request to not be billed, but it's not automatic. So I can still go ahead and bill the kid. But the parent would actually have to go to, and I think it's our district is doing it. They're kind of like expounding on what the law says. You know, they want, I guess, the parents to have an option. But if they actually wanted to not pay it, they could request not pay it, and the district would say they didn't have to pay it. I mean, we already write off about $1,500 a year in unpaid fines and lost and damaged books in our school district. So, I mean, if I don't send any bills, then I'm sure that would be a lot more. So I guess I'll just have to wait and see if anybody requests it.
Yeah, one of the things that when we started the conversation is that when it's an item that's from another location,
right, we still have to pay it.
Yeah, which I think is going to, it could be challenging for some of our smaller schools, but it kind of sounds like this is something that each school is going to determine how they're going to handle it. So definitely wanted to let the committee know, and we're going to keep an eye on it. And if we need to send out communications at some point, if we get more clarification or further questions, Leah Gregory has also been part of this conversation with us. We could certainly do that. So I think that she is going to continue following and trying to figure out what responsibilities that we have. And so we can definitely keep the committee updated. Jennifer, was there anything else that you wanted to see from the SHARE team?
I think that's it. I wasn't sure if anybody knew the actual law as it was stated. You know, is it something the state was requiring us? But apparently it looks like our district is just allowing that as an option for parents to do. I just hope they don't do it. There we go. $15,000 for seven schools. And if I write off 10% of that every year in unpaid fines, I hope it doesn't go up more.
Yeah, it seemed like the law, what I read, and of course, not being an attorney, we'd have to get some legal experts to look at it. It kind of looked like lost or damaged items was exempt from that, but maybe Beth from the O'Fallon School
District. Right. Yeah, it did look like it said that books, library books, were not considered part of that fees structure. So,
yeah,
I guess we'll just see what happens.
Yeah. So we'll definitely keep an eye out. And Leah, again, she'll continue monitoring to see if she can find any information about the law being changed, or are there any additional information about that.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you for bringing that to us, Jennifer. We really appreciate that.
Thanks.
Okay. Do we have any other new business? And do we have any other old business? Okay. Is there any, I'm sorry, I'm going to bounce back up to other new business. We had something come in yesterday that I just want to make the committee aware of. We have a library that has concerns about a neighboring library that is not willing to search for patrons when they come in. Apparently they don't give out library cards, but the neighboring library says they will not search or type anything in. It has to be scanned, and it has to be a library card that is scanned. I'm not entirely sure why that is their policy, but I am going to reach out to them just maybe for more of a discussion about that. One of the things that I looked at the policy, and it does talk about when you register a patient, you issuing a library card. But it doesn't really explicitly state it has to be a physical card. And I don't necessarily want to insist that they purchase library cards. Dina looked up their accounts. They are traditional library card numbers, so we're not sure how exactly they're populating those, if it's like an Excel spreadsheet, or if they actually do have barcodes that maybe they can give them out on a piece of paper. Excuse me. I know that's what we do for new staff when they come to IHLS. But with that, I had suggested that they could even use the app, the Share Mobile Library app, if they need to have something to scan. The problem with that is it does list the barcode number, but you have to have a 2D scanner to be able to read it on a device. And one of the things that Crystal, when she responded back, said that she was concerned because the library has insisted that they will not type anything in. It has to be scanned. And if they don't have that type of device, we're just kind of going around in a circle. So she said that her director was going to reach out to the director of the library who's has that stance. But I said I'd be happy to reach out to her neighboring libraries just to let them know they don't issue physical cards, to give them some flexibility. I don't think it's something that we need to really develop a policy on, because this is the first time I've ever come across this. And I think that this is a library that's maybe a little bit newer to sharing, that's not willing to type in the number. Maybe that I can just kind of encourage them to be a little bit more flexible with their neighbors. But if anybody else has any comments or suggestions, I just wanted to kind of give you guys a heads up that this was being discussed.
Okay, as somebody who does require physical cards, because that's our policy, I thought state law said they had to have a card. I mean, I thought there was about issuing a card. I understand you're saying versus a physical card versus an electronic card, but this time my board is still requiring a physical card, because to them it's no different than requiring your credit card to buy groceries.
So you will not look them up with a driver's license?
No, because there are in our system two Brenda Campbells. There is one in Clifton and one in St. Joe. And the Brenda Campbell in St. Joe got really furious at me when we first became Share 10 years ago, because Clifton looked up Barbara Campbell and picked the wrong one and checked out all the books to my patron. That is the problem with doing looking up by name.
Right.
Now, I have tried to scan, and I think I do have 2D scanners. I have tried to scan from the mobile app. I cannot. I am going to suggest to my board that since it is a physical barcode in there, that we be willing to type the barcode, because if you type it wrong, it's not going to come up with that person's name.
Right.
But looking up my name is a bad thing with as big of our system as. I think I have a unique name with Susan McKinney, and there's multiple Susan McKinneys in Share. or there was at one time. You got to be careful. And I can't just do it because your name's unique, like Hosenhausen or whatever you want to say. Smith, if I do it for Hosenhausen, I have to do it for Smith.
Right. And so I am, we could talk about having a policy. I think that we have not, and there's probably a reason we have not ever said that you cannot look up by card or you have to have a physical card, because that's kind of treading on toes of library's autonomy.
I'm not making
but I think there are
cards. What I want to say is I'm not making people have to have cards at their libraries, but my board is requiring my staff and I to have a card to check out to patrons in my library.
Yeah, I think the, and this of course is not from the library, who it's third hand of, they said that they would not type in a number, but I think if it is a barcode and it has the number clearly there, I think that I can certainly reach out to talk to them about it, because it's not requiring them to look up a name or use the driver's license number or anything like that. So
would they even be willing to sit a keyboard towards the patron for the patron to look at their barcode, or I've memorized my barcode, and right, then the patron keys in the number themselves.
So this is where I go with the whole worst case scenario. You've got somebody who's memorized somebody else's barcode and scams and gets stuff on the wrong person's card because they don't want to put stuff on their card because they've got lost items or they've got big fines. You know, I'm sorry. I always think worst case scenarios and I try to plan for them. Janet.
Can I just jump in and say that when we first joined with Share, there were a lot of duplicate names. And so we required a physical card to be able to scan and check out. And from a customer service perspective, we had to change how we did our business, because we want to make sure that we get it on the right card. And we had instances where it didn't. But if they're going to hand me their driver's license, I'm going to look them up by their name. And I think for us, it's a better option to figure out how to make it work for all circumstances than to not make it work.
Okay, so funny thing about the driver's license number. My staff member found out that if we don't put the dashes, you just put in as all one number, you can scan the barcode off the back of the driver's license and bring it up.
So that's, yes. And that's what she had actually suggested to the member library that was saying that they had to have something to scan. She said, well, you can scan the barcode, but they said they were also not willing to do that either. So it seemed like, and I have not talked to that library to get it directly from them, but I think that maybe I should, to just see what's going on and see if we can come to a resolution.
I mean,
I think it's probably about something else.
Sounds like there's more to it than.
Well, and to be fair, the library has said that they would not be willing to do anything except scan a library card, they are fairly new to us. Okay. So they're not as used to sharing between libraries. And so I think the director at from the person I had talked to was going to reach out, and then I will also reach out as well. So I might have more information.
I honestly thought you might be talking about me, Cassandra, because I don't even do driver's licenses. My board, it says in the policy, must have your library card. I have to abide by my policy. Our policy has a line there. You don't follow the policy, you can be terminated. Not saying my board would, but.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got on my agenda to talk to the board about allowing the barcode off of the Share mobile app, because if they forget their card, at least they've got their app. They can hand us the phone and we can type the number in or scan it, depending on how the scanner works with the phone.
I did just want to add also that it does pose a problem for like the juvenile cards. If a kid doesn't have a driver's license, they're not going to be able to go to another library and check anything out. So that would be something that they'd have to consider.
Yeah, I don't understand not giving out a physical card. I mean, even our juveniles get physical cards. I mean, we hand out the cards to everybody above the age of 60, you know, proves their residency. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, I will I will report back at the next meeting if there's anything additional. But again, it just came up yesterday and I wanted to let you know that we were trying to get that resolved. Okay. So I'm so sorry we had to skip back, but any public comment and any announcements?
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I was just going to say that library crawl registration is open. So if you participated in the past, go ahead and fill it out again. So just proving that you guys want to do it again for 2023. And if you haven't and you have questions, please email us so we can explain what the library crawl is a little bit more.
Thank you. We are so excited about library crawl. We participated last year by going out to our member libraries, those that we just split into teams and like headed out in October, and it was so much fun. So we are hoping to do that again this year.
I know I've already had patrons saying, when is the library crawl going to be? Is it coming up soon? So yes, I may not have a huge number of people participating, but they love it. I want to apologize for not being audible at the beginning of the meeting. I am needing to get a new roof for my library, and I did a presentation at the township board meeting Tuesday night about whether they might be willing to help us with the funding for it. And I was talking to my township supervisor to find out what was decided after I left the meeting. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Susan. I'm so glad to hear that you're getting some follow-up from that. Okay. Well, our next meeting will be on Thursday, October 12th at 10 a.m. And so I look forward to hearing all your library crawl stories as we convene back in October. So thank you all for joining us. I saw, Mary, that you popped in a little bit after. I know you weren't going to be able
We had another meeting with my board. So, yeah.
If you want to stick around, I can just give you a really brief recap if you'd like. But otherwise,
yeah, that'd be great.
I can send the minutes.
Okay. Or you know what? I'll just read the minutes. That's okay. I don't want to take up more of your time. So, okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.